Elliot Friedman, brought to you by Calgary Lock & Safe. Lost your keys? Calgary Lock & Safe can rekey or recode your locks. Visit CalgaryLockAndSafe.com.
And we have some breaking news to kick off our weekly chat with the one and only Elliot Friedman. Happy Monday, Friege. How are you, my friend?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. And literally, as Logan was calling you for the hit, Larry Brooks put out the news. I see that you have retweeted it in the last couple of seconds as well. Gerard Gallant, the new head coach of the New York Rangers. I know this is something that you had kind of telegraphed as late as a week and a half ago. This is something that you definitely had your eye on, wasn't it?
Well, it was. I'd heard today they were negotiating, but I didn't know it was going to get done. And obviously, Larry got the information, before I did. I think the offer was made this morning that they reached out and said, you know, and then they began negotiating and obviously have got it closed. I'm not surprised. I think the Rangers, you know, wanted to check in on Mike Sullivan. I think they wanted to check in on Rod Brind'Amour, but I don't think that either of those situations were going to happen. And so then I just think they were covering all their bases. I do believe from the beginning, Gallant was at the top of their list, but I just think they wanted to make sure that there was nobody else available they weren't expecting. So I'm not incredibly surprised.
There were definitely other teams interested in Gallant, but did you ever feel like there was another one that was close, or were the Rangers always the front runner?
I think the Rangers were the front runner, but I do think Columbus thought about it. I think the biggest thing for Columbus was what was their direction? Which way were they going here? And I think one of the things is that Columbus, it looks like they're headed towards a pretty big rebuild. And I think that what they basically just decided was, it didn't make sense because mm-hmm. I think to hire, like, I always hate saying this because it kind of makes somebody sound worse when you're not trying to. I just think the budget of what, you know, Brad Larson's going to get and what Gerard Gallant's going to get are two very different things right now. And if you're paying that money for Gallant, you're probably not paying it for a team that's going to go through a rebuild. So I don't want anyone to use that to disparage Brad Larson. I don't like that. I just think that there are times you make decisions on coaches, not only for reasons of what you want to do, but also what makes feasible sense to do. And I just don't think Columbus looked at it that made a lot of sense at this time.
Okay. So Gerard Gallant, new head coach of the New York Rangers, that coming down today. You mentioned Rod Brind'Amour in there, and this was part of your conversation with Jeff on the latest 31 Thoughts podcast up at Sportsnet.ca from Friday. Where are we on Rod and the Hurricanes now that their season is done?
I think he's going back to stay. I think teams wanted to talk to him. I don't think he was ever leaving. I think it was Carolina or nowhere, but I think teams wanted to talk to him. And it sounds to me like he's going to go back and most of his staff will go back. You know, I reported on the weekend that Dean Chenoweth, who, you know, the Chenoweth name, the Western Hockey League people will know very well, obviously. He has permission to look around with other teams. He was not able to make a deal with the owner there, Tom Dundon. But it sounds like just about everybody else is. I mean, this could go in old takes exposed if I muck this up. But from what I understand, he's going back.
Okay, that's which I think a lot of Hurricanes fans would be very happy to hear. Elliot Friedman's with us from Hockey Night in Canada, our Sportsnet NHL insider. Let's stay with the Hurricanes as you broke some news earlier today about Dougie Hamilton and his future. He now has permission to start looking around and maybe chase a sign-in trade. What are we talking about with Dougie and the Hurricanes? What can you tell us there?
Well, I just think that it's a situation where they talked during the season about an extension. And I think that it wasn't close. Like, I think they agreed to shelve the discussions till after the year. What I think Carolina is kind of hoping here potentially is maybe he goes and sees the market and he doesn't like what is out there, or he, you know, either in terms of who's going to offer him or what the deal could be, and he potentially comes back. You know, I think that's a tough one to handicap in terms of that way. I just think there's going to be a lot of interest. I think, you know, teams like Philly and Seattle are going to have interest. I think there's a lot of teams looking for defense right now. I mean, you take a look at all these teams that are in the Final Four right now. They all have deep and talented blue lines who can beat you in different ways, right? And I just think that that's going to make defensemen a very valuable commodity. So I think that's what Carolina is kind of hoping for. Mm-hmm. I just don't know if that's going to happen. I think there's going to be a lot of interest in him.
For sure. I just, on the outside, and having covered Dougie here in Calgary for a number of seasons, I've never seen a better fit. I have never seen a better fit for the player. I've never seen a better fit for the market. And for Carolina, that pairing that he is formed with Jacob Slavin, like, that is an elite pairing in this league. So I just wonder, when it's all said and done, from a fit standpoint, if there's, I don't think there's going to be a better one for Dougie. I'm wondering if that might play into the conversations when it's all said and done, regardless of what the dollar figures might look like.
I think that yes and no. It's funny. I've had this conversation with people today because I think there's a lot of calls going around. Once the news got out, Pat, you know, there's been a lot of talk about, okay, who is Dougie Hamilton? There's always a lot of debate on, you know, who he is and what he is. And I just hate the stupid museum talk. I think it's a dumb conversation. I think he is wired differently than your average hockey player. I think in some ways that's good. In some ways that's bad. But as you know, it's sometimes, like in Boston and Calgary, you know, he got into disputes with his teammates over things like that, over some of the ways he approached the game. It happens. It's life. But, you know, I agree with you in the sense that I thought it was a smaller market in terms of hockey coverage. I thought that was really helpful for him. But I think we also know that there's an owner there, and this is what's happening with the assistant coach, Chenault, is that he decides there's a limit to what he's willing to do. He puts a value on you, and he's not going past that value. And it's allowed Carolina to make some really shrewd hockey decisions. But I think at the end of the day, he's going to look at a guy like, Hamilton and say, look, if you want 8x8, go out there and get it, and good on you. But yep, we're not going to do that here. And I think that's what it comes down to. I think, you know, I think Hamilton wants to go out there and hit a home run. That's his right. And I just don't think that home run, if that's the number, is going to happen with the Hurricanes.
To Boston, Tuukka Rask told us late last week that he will need surgery on a hip issue that he was playing through in the postseason. Won't be ready until January, February 2022. What do you see happening there? Is he's also an unrestricted free agent at the end of July?
I think that what Boston's going to do is they are going to tell Rask and Krejci, we respect your desire to take some time, but we're going to need to know an answer at least in enough time that we can, if the answer is no, that we can make our next decisions, that we can adapt. So I think they're going to be respectful to a point. They're just going to need to know before the off season really begins. Like Rask has been through a lot between his body and everything. Remember last year he had to leave the bubble early. I put myself in someone's shoes, Pat, and I know that if I was in his shoes, you know, even though he did the right thing by his family last year to leave the bubble to take care of his daughter, I'm sure that played into his decision that he wasn't leaving the net this year with his injury. Like, you know, you feel that you're part of a team, mm-hmm, and you want to stay and be part of that team. So, I think he's been through a lot. I think Krejci's been through a lot. Their bodies have taken a lot of punishment. It's clear that those guys want to be Bruins. I just think the Bruins will say, take your time, just as long as we know well in advance of the offseason.
What about Taylor Hall?
I think they're going to try to sign him. I do. I think they're going to try to sign him. And I think there's interest. I think Hall would like to stay. I think also that it's a, it's a situation where, I think they have to figure out what they're going to do with their number two center if Krejci isn't there. But I do think he wants to stay, and I think they're interested in him.
Okay. Elliot Friedman's with us, Sportsnet and Hockey Night in Canada. Let's get to what's happening on the ice. Game one, Montreal-Vegas. First time the Habs have played in front of a crowd like this going back to early 2020. They'll be in front of a sold-out house in Vegas tonight. Does that impact game one and game two from a Montreal standpoint for you?
I got a bunch of texts coming in. You talked about the crowd there, Pat.
Yeah, just wondering how that impacts, good or bad, the Canadians, knowing that they've been playing in front of 2,500. Now they're playing in front of 19,000 in one of the loudest buildings in the league.
I'm actually very curious to see that too. There's two things about Vegas that Montreal hasn't seen this year. Number one is the crowd. I do think that's going to be really interesting. I was thinking about it today. When was the last time Vegas played in front of a crowd? It's been 15 months. Mm-hmm. Montreal played in front of a crowd. It's been like 15 months. It's going to be very interesting. Like, there's a lot of pros on that team, guys who've been around a long time, so I can't really see it throwing them, but it could. And the other thing is, Vegas likes to start at home with the Reeves line. Montreal hasn't seen anybody like that this year. None of the Canadian teams have, any of the Canadian teams have a guy like that, and really a team that commits to it like Vegas does. There's Vegas really commits to that identity. So do the Islanders. Montreal hasn't played anyone like that. So I'm really curious to see if that's going to be unique and different for them too.
Petrie, Merrill, Evans, all options at some point, we're thinking, right?
Yeah, Petrie, that's going to be a tough one without him tonight. The way Vegas forechecks, not having Petrie, that's going to be a problem for them. But I think if we've learned one thing, you don't count out the Canadians. They're here for a reason. They've earned the respect. But I think Petrie is a huge loss for game one.
What about the Islanders and what they've been able to accomplish? Now, 7 wins away from a Stanley Cup. I know they still have to beat Tampa Bay in this series, but they frustrated the top players of the Lightning in a big, big way yesterday afternoon. How impressed have you been with New York?
Incredibly impressed. And the thing that I think this year, I was just talking about this last hour in Toronto, is if you looked at them the last couple of years, the structure and the togetherness and the identity have taken them somewhere, Pat. But you know what they can do different this year? They can score. Barzal is, we all know how talented he is. He's getting better. Brock Nelson, he's really getting better. I just think they're a better scoring team than they've been the last 2 years. That's what they kind of had to, they're scoring a ton of goals. And even though the Essays game was only 2-1, I felt they were really in control. Didn't you?
Yeah. Yeah,
only the last
minute.
I was really impressed. They're going to give Tampa all they can handle. Now, Tampa wasn't very good. In the first 53 minutes yesterday, Point, Stamkos, and Kucherov only had one shot. But the one thing about Tampa is they've been murdering people on the power play. They've been murdering people on the power play. I just wonder if they're in a series now, because the Islanders don't take a lot of penalties. They're going to have to beat them 5-on-5, too.
Just a few more. Elliot Friedman, Hockey Night in Canada. Back to Canada. What are you hearing? Let's go Vancouver first. Quinn Hughes, Elias Pettersson. There's been some buzz in that market about how contract talks might be starting. What are you hearing on those two RFAs?
I think the Pettersson one, I think, is reasonably, I don't know if simple's the right word, but there's a lot of comparables in around the Point and Barzal area, 3-6-7-5, 3x7. I think that's kind of going to end up there. The Hughes one is a little different because he's not offer sheet eligible, and I've heard that they might do some longer term there. But the tougher thing for Hughes is there aren't as many, like, there's a lot of forward comparables for Pettersson. There's not a lot of D comparables there. So
yeah.
I've heard they've been talking a little bit longer. We'll see.
Any Calgary nuggets for us? They're still pretty quiet.
It's still pretty quiet. It's still, I think it's still really quiet there.
Okay. And finally, just in terms
I think they're doing a lot of their meetings. I think they're doing a lot of their meetings. Like, they had the big one with ownership, and, you know, they're doing a lot of their meetings. We'll see. Maybe something comes out this week. I don't know.
Anything else on your radar right now as we wrap up?
Yeah, my head's about to explode. Like, my phone is...
You've done a hell of a job, my friend.
Sorry, I'm, like, having trouble paying attention. It's just that I got a billion calls coming in. I apologize.
The life of an insider. You did a hell of a job, as per usual. We knew as soon as the Gallant news hit, you're like, oh, Elliot's going to be busy on this hit. You did a great job, my friend, as always. Talk to you next Monday, my friend.
Thanks, Pat. Take care.
Elliot Friedman, brought to you by Calgary Lock & Safe. Having issues with your automatic doors not working properly? Calgary Lock & Safe can help. Visit CalgaryLockAndSafe.com.